know it's a good day. Amen. How many are enjoying our harsh winter? I'm praying it in. Sunshine. It's the way God meant it to be. Before sin came in the garden, it was going to be sunny every day. All right, we've started a series on the theme of this month, and that is the series of Magnify. And we kicked it off with the verse out of Psalms chapter 34, and I want to read that this morning, and it'll be up on the screen, or you can utilize your phone, or actually your Bible, your paper Bible, and let's read this. I want this to get into our heart and spirit. I want this to move us in such a way through this week that as we get ready to end this year and prioritize and move into the next year, that we are able to do this. Psalms 34, verses 1 through 3 says this: I will bless the Lord at all times, all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I see a few words there that really instruct us and maybe even challenge some of us. And that is that I will bless the Lord at all times, all the time. You know, Paul talks about praying without ceasing. And so we hear this this theme throughout the scriptures. And then it says, your praise shall continually be in my mouth, in my mouth. You see, our mouth is very important. We have a body, we have a soul, which is a mind, will, and emotions, and your mouth is what releases your soul and literally speaks back into your own life as well into the lives of others. And it says, let us all magnify the Lord. Let us exalt his name together. We did a series a while back on the name of the Lord and making his name known and how important that is. And that's been stirring in me as I've been going through this, because I believe that what we have is so powerful. This treasure that you have within you as a born-again believer is so amazing that it needs to get out. It needs to be known. It needs to magnify the Lord. But it's so easy for us to mix it up and kind of begin to take credit for life ourselves and for what we've accomplished and what we're doing. And before you know it, you're suddenly feeling pretty good about what you've done. And whenever that happens, all of a sudden, the pendulum begins to swing away from what should be a complete and full magnifying of our Creator God. It's when we really understand who He is, who we were, and who He has made us. Okay? He has made us. We have not made ourselves. And we begin to glorify Him. And His desire for each and every one of us is that we would magnify Him, that we would take a hold of eternal life that He's given to us, and we would turn around in this journey, in this planet, and we would begin to magnify Him. Last week, we talked about the difference between a magnifying glass and a telescope. We said that a magnifying glass enlarges things that are really small and makes them look bigger than what they actually are. But a telescope actually brings into focus how big something really is. And we talked about the stars and the earth and the moon and how large those things are. But as we look up and we see a star, it just looks like a little nickel in the sky. But in reality, that star and most of the stars that you see at night are larger than the earth. I'm thinking, wow. Well, a telescope helps us to see that. And now that they've created the Hubble telescope, we're seeing some amazing things out there. And it just make you do what? To me, it just, wow. I mean, is God amazing or what? And so when we talk about the difference, I think, and as we've been looking through this, is the enemy of your soul, Satan, loves to hang a magnifying glass over you at every turn. He wants to magnify your failures and magnify your shortcomings. But God says, no, I want you to have a telescope that helps you to see how great I am and what I've done for you and who you are as a son and daughter of the Most High God if you have received him as your Lord. And it's an amazing that God would say, hey, I'm going to give you a glimpse into this. And that's why even sometimes when you read the scriptures and you're like, wow, what does that even mean? How could I even wrap my head around that? Well, we're talking about a God that's so amazingly big. How can we wrap our head around anything, right? But he come down to earth. He spoke to us in very simple language so that you and I could get a hold of this. But he didn't want us to stay there. He wanted us to grow up and mature up. And even as the Apostle Paul said at one point, you know, I didn't know if I was on earth or in heaven. He was beginning to catch a greater glimpse of the greatness of his God. And he was beginning to see that God is amazing. And that God would reveal to him and make himself known. God would open up the telescope for him that he might see the greatness of our God. And that we would not be under this magnifying glass our entire life just trying to work to be better and trying to never fail. I don't know about you, but sometimes the more you try to never fail, the more you fail. And just, you know, you're working away and he's wearing down the saints because he keeps putting that magnifying glass in front of you. And you forget the fact that really, who you really are is a son and daughter of the Most High God. I'm thinking, wow. And when we can really grasp that, when we can really see that, then all of a sudden, instead of this big judge sitting in heaven, waiting to judge you and waiting to just put the hammer on you and slam it down on you, what you begin to see is this amazing Father that's sitting up there watching everything, knowing everything about you. Matter of fact, the scripture says he knows every hair on your head. He knows everything. And he's sitting up there waiting for you just to look to him and say, Abba, Father, I'm here. I failed, but you're my Father. Now, I hadn't had the experience of what it feels like to have a loving Father take me in his arms and hold me when I failed. And so it took a while for me to really grasp what the scriptures talk about when it talks about a father. It just took a while for me to get a hold of that. And I can tell you the struggles that come when you're trying to just please somebody out of a maybe more legalistic law way. When God's saying, no, I am not that kind of a father at all. You can't find that in me. All you can find in me is a love that is so great that I wrap myself up into a little baby, the most vulnerable of all, a baby, and I put myself on earth. What for? So that I could have you, so I could bring you back into that relationship, so we could begin to walk together, we could begin to understand and walk together and allow the Father to come. And once we come to that place, we begin to know him, then this whole idea of magnifying him, and I want to make sure that we get there, it doesn't come because I have to do it. He wants this to spring up. Scriptures of Psalmist wrote once a song, it said, spring up a well inside of me. And that's the goal. My heart, my goal, even through this month, is that as we all settle back, and really it just seems to be a month where even, you know, everybody, at least in the United States, everybody kind of just, I know we speed up, but we also slow down. We start thinking about life. We start thinking about family. We start looking at our family, and it just seems to happen that way about this time of year. But God wants to come, and he wants to bring us into this greater relationship with him. The goal for us out of this month, my desire would be that we would begin to magnify our God in every situation, everywhere that we are. Yeah. In other words, it's not something I put on. here and there, not something I come to church and I just magnify him and worship him here, even though I think that's important, but I literally, everywhere I go, it's just springing out of me. You know, out of my innermost being would flow rivers of what? Living water. That something begins to spring out of me. And I want to say this carefully, but I want to say it pretty clearly. If that isn't springing out of us, there's potentially the enemy has put rocks in your well. I think of the illustration of the Old Testament when Israel built all these wells, which was their survival. That was their life. And what did the enemy come when he came in? He put rocks in all of their wells so they wouldn't have a source of life. And some of us have had rocks dropped into our wells through the experiences of life, whether it be through, and oftentimes just through family and relatives and friends and just life itself has just thrown rocks inside of our well. Well, rocks of hurt and different types of things that have come into our lives. And God wants to come and get rid of those rocks. And he wants to free you up so that what you do doesn't come out of any form of religion, but it comes out of a love. And that it springs out of us. Psalms 40 in verse 16 says this here. It says, let all those, not some of them, let all those who seek you. How many are seeking God here this morning? I think it would be all of us. So we know one thing. This is speaking to us. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation. How many love your salvation? Yeah. I love my salvation. I'm sure it's because I was lost a lot more lost than all of you. But I'm just telling you, I love my salvation. I love it. I can't even believe it sometimes. I just sit back and just think, wow. You're amazing. But look at what it says. All those that love their salvation, they say, here's that word again, continually. What? The Lord be magnified. Would you say that with me? The Lord be magnified. Let's say it one more time. The Lord be magnified. I should be saying that according to him continually. I should continually be in my mouth. Look at Psalms 69 and verse 30. It says, I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. I tell you, we say it over and over, and we'll say it over and over and over again, and again and again and again. When we come in here for worship and singing, it's not just because that's just a piece of what church does. It's literally, in the scriptures, it's literally worship unto our God. And this is what he said, I'm going to do this continually. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be over and over, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Magnify simply means to make bigger, or it also can mean to promote. In other words, you're displaying who God is through your life continually. You know, have you ever been in a situation where you didn't want to do that? I know there's just a lot more of you religious people out there that aren't telling the truth. I can tell that right now. You have been. And yet, God says, no, I want everything. Just think, if everything about your life was to magnify God in everything that you did, and that was your thought, how many know that would alter a few things in your life? A lot of it would alter the way that your soul would want to do things. But and this is why I think he's saying it's so important. I want you to magnify me. I want that to be every day. I want it to be continually. I don't want you to have to work for it. I want it to spring up out of your hearts. I'm telling you, if we can get a hold of this, if we can capture making him bigger, not only for ourselves but for others, it'll transform our lives. Because again, every time you step into something, every time you step into a situation, hopefully the first thought is, am I going to magnify God in this situation? Am I going to make him bigger than myself? Am I going to make him bigger? Am I going to display him for who he really is? Because see, a lot of times in the world, they don't know who he is. They don't know how great he is. So how else do they find out if we don't tell them? Right? I mean, really, it's just one of those things where it's okay, but what has the enemy been great at doing? Closing the mouth of the believer. Keeping us from being too happy about God. I can't even hardly say that. Can you be too happy about God? No, you can't. But through the course of the journey, sometimes we kind of get there. And some of it is just the pressure of our culture. We just can't deny that culture affects us. And it just kind of begins to press against us. And so, if you walk outside and you just feel the pressure. And you start to get excited about God in the grocery line. And you just feel the pressure. How many know what I'm talking about? Come on, you religious folk. I'm going to get everybody this morning. You feel the pressure. God says, hey, just say something nice to that person. You feel the pressure. Why is that? It's the atmosphere. Satan is still the ruler of this world, but not of believers. We have the authority to push him out. Remember, the gates of hell won't be able to prevail against us. As we learn to magnify God and as we learn to bring him out, let me just tell you, you probably won't have to say a whole lot of words. His presence will do it. Turn with me, and this is not up there. I don't think this is not on the PowerPoint, but Luke chapter 32. I was kind of captured with this because there's a couple songs, maybe a few more. I didn't research it completely. There's a couple songs that we read about in the scriptures. Both of them seem to deal with some deliverance of some form happening. And then this is what broke out. I don't know about you, but when I think of Moses, especially after seeing him on TV, I don't think of him singing a song. Do you? You know, is it Charleston Heston or something? I just can't see him singing a song, you know, in his outfit and so forth. But yet what we read about in the scripture is that after a deliverance in Psalm chapter 32 and verse, I'll just read from verse 1. It says, give ear, O heavens. And this is a song, literally a song in the Bible from Moses. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain, and my speech to distill as the dew, and as raindrops on the tender herbs, and as showers on the grass. Verse 3, for I proclaim the name of the Lord, and I ascribe greatness to our God. So what was the natural response of Moses' deliverance? It was a song. Something burst out of his innermost being. There was enough joy there for him to want to sing. And again, I just don't see Moses singing any more than I can see me singing. Okay? And yet he sang this song. And then we go up to what we just read. And here in Luke chapter 1, Mary comes and meets with her cousin, Elizabeth, and a connection happens, and the Holy Spirit shows up, and all of a sudden, a confirmation of all that was going on. Can you imagine being that young girl, and the Holy Spirit, the angels come in and talking to her and say, hey, this is what's going to happen. You're going to become impregnated. No, I know you're not married yet, but you know, this is what's going to happen. And can you imagine going through that? And as she comes and meets with her cousin Elizabeth, and all of a sudden, boom, this action of the Holy Spirit takes place, and what happens next? Mary sings a song. And look at what her song starts with. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Now that's from an event that's just happened. But she burst out in song, and I want to challenge us this morning. Do you still have a song in your heart for your deliverance, for your salvation, for what God has done for you? Because we should have that. How many can say amen to that? We didn't earn it. We couldn't earn it. We didn't deserve it, but he still gave it to you. That's pretty good if you ask me. He said it was a free gift of salvation. All you have to do is just believe in him. Believe in the name of Jesus Christ who came and died for you. That's all you have to do. I thought it was crazy and impossible when I first started to hear the story. But as I journeyed in my unsaved, crazy state, somebody just continued to magnify the Lord to me and just to tell me how great he was and that he did die for me and he did love me and he did care about me. They just kept telling me that for 2 years. 2 years they kept telling me that simple message with a smile. And I just remember finally one day, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit stepped in, said, it's time. I've, I've, I've put the word in him enough. The word does not return void. In other words, when you speak the word to people, and you don't have to give them the John whatever, because that's not even inspired. That was written later for our benefit. The word is inspired. When you share the word with them, because I know a lot of times people say, well, I just can't remember where anything's at. Well, get it in your spirit and you'll never forget it. My soul does magnify the Lord. And you just begin to share with people the simplicity of the real message. You see, sometimes we try to do it. Well, verse this and verse that and the Roman road here and the Roman road there and the Greek word there. You know, and that's not what it takes. What it takes is a son and a daughter of the Most High talking to people. Remember, we talked about this a few weeks ago. The Bible says you're the oracle of God. You're the mouthpiece of God. You're speaking life into them. The Bible says we speak grace into the life of people. And just by talking to them and loving them like God does and exposing ourselves to them in vulnerability, all of a sudden, I'm just telling you, I was the worst of the worst, but God got a hold of me, and that was all it took. But I come to find out it was just a free gift. I thought, wow, because I never felt deserving for anything. I never thought anybody would ever give me anything the way I grew up. It was a dog-eat-dog fight for everything. And yet God come down and says, hey, son, I got this free gift for you. And this gift is coming because I love you. I don't even know you yet, but I love you. And he comes after us. And I just think, you know, out of that, I if I ever catch myself feeling kind of depressed and maybe not happy and periodically even really angry, I'm like, wow, how could I even consider that? I am not magnifying him right now, because you cannot magnify him and stay where you're at. You can't really even magnify God and grumble. And I dare any of you to try it this week. Magnify God and try to grumble at the same time. It won't happen. So anyway, we come to the scriptures and we see in Psalms 42 and verse 5, because our challenge with all of this, our challenge with doing this continually, praying continually, rejoicing, singing continually, our challenge is that our soul gets in the way. And the soul is the part of your being. We believe that we're three-part beings, body, soul, and spirit. Your body obviously speaks for itself. Your soul is would consist of, by just about everybody that I know, it would be a mind, will, and emotions. And then your spirit is that life that God breathes into you once you are born again. That's what he does. He breathes back into your spirit, the life. Okay? So that's what we're made up of. King David finds himself in a very difficult, challenging situation, and I found myself in bad situations, so have you, whether it be for health, whether it be for money, whether it be for whatever, relationships, whatever it might be, just find yourself in a position to where all of a sudden the enemy pulls out his, I wish I had one, I don't have one, this big old magnifying glass, and he shines it right on you, and he throws it back in your face. Oh, you are not worth it, and you're not worthy, and yada, yada, yada. Nobody loves you, and nobody cares about you, and yada, yada, yada. And pretty soon, you are beat down. Well, David found himself, one of the greatest kings ever, found himself in this place, and actually not once, not twice, but at least three times that we see in Scripture, he finds himself in this position. Now, maybe that's because musicians and artsy people are a little bit more emotional than everybody else. I don't know, but he landed there a lot, you know, and he landed in these positions where he was just, you know, hurting. And so I want to pull this out because I think it's important for us to understand. I think that when we relate to God, I don't think you can just sit there and let it happen in your mind. I just about sat there. As I have sat there before, that would have been a surprise. Oh, my Lord, that would have been a surprise. But he found himself in this place of frustration and disappointment, whether it be in persons or even disappointed in God. You can actually become disappointed in God. I've felt disappointed in God before. And David obviously is very frustrated here, but here's what he does in chapter 42 and verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted in me? So you see who he's talking to right now. He's talking to his soul. He's saying to himself, he's talking to himself, self-talk. Why are you cast down? Why is it disquieted in me? And what is his resolve? Because his spirit man must be speaking at this point. He says, you got a hope in God, for yet shall I praise him for his help and his countenance. So the help of his countenance. I'm going to praise him no matter what. That's going to be my MO. I'm going to praise him whether good or bad. I'm going to praise him. Because he realized that what was happening was that his soul, the enemy was magnifying over him, his failures, his shortcomings, whatever it is, and he's magnifying that over him, and he finds himself, it looks to me like he found himself the great musician without a song. Sometimes we land there. We just can't get out of bed. We just can't seem to get a hold of life. We don't want to get out of bed. We want to stay there. It's just too much trouble. It's too much work. It's too hurtful. It's too hard. It's too painful. I can't go through it. But I want to just encourage us. Let's begin to realize the soul element of our being so that we can do as David did, and we can begin to, what? Sing praises to God, and he began to just magnify him. And if you read through his Psalms, look at his Psalms. They're all about magnifying God. God, you are so amazing, and you're so big, and you're so good. There's just something about the words coming out of your own mouth, right from your mouth, that begin to change something inside of you that needs to change. Because, see, your self-talk got you to where you were at. But if it was coming from the wrong source, then you went down instead of up. You went down instead of up. You went down instead of up. And then again, the enemy is a master. He's a master liar. He's a master at making you feel like what you're feeling is really real. Isn't that right? I mean, have you ever really, really just really felt lousy sometimes? You know, you wake up and it's like, wow, everything's going to fall apart. It's all gone now. It's too late. You know, it's just kind of a weird thing. It's just that the enemy found his way in. Why? Because I didn't magnify the Lord. Is that not simple or what? I mean, just think about it. Go back to Psalms 34. Let's just all look at that here. I'm not sure if this is up there still, or I don't know how far I went with this, but you need to open your Bible or get this, make sure, in case it's not up there, although they do a really good job of finding stuff. Listen to this, because this may be a word for somebody this morning. I'm telling you, if anything about what God wants you to do is hard, it's not God. He is the easiest one in the world. You know what I mean? And he's already done it for you. That's the thing. He's not asking you to do anything, really. He didn't ask us to do anything except for to magnify him. And that's for our benefit, not his. And so listen to what he's saying here. I will bless the Lord at all times. Praise continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast to the Lord. Humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Now look at this here in verse 4. I sought the Lord and what? He heard me. And then look what he did. And he delivered me from what? All of my fears. And what does the enemy always play on? Fears. Fear's big. And the opposite of fear is what? Love. I've always said faith myself, but I was always wrong. I hate being wrong. But it's love. It really is. It's love. He comes and he brings his love, because perfect love does what? Casts out all fear. And that's the thing that's attacking what? Our soul. And whenever our soul is attacked and we get into this wrestling match wrongly, what you find out is that you're not hearing God now, because he doesn't go into that. He just comes and he says, hey, you know, probably, Des, you want to come and sit on my lap? No, don't you. He just wants to pull you in and say, here, sit on my lap for a minute. Let me really talk to you. about what's really real, what's really going to happen. I'll show you what's going to come. You can trust me. You can believe me no matter what it looks like. I'm going to show you. I mean, I think the Father wants to show us things, right? He said he doesn't do anything unless he shows you first. And he's talking about the prophets, but we would believe, I believe anyway, and I hope you're all with me, the church is prophetic. The body of Christ, with Christ as the head, has to be prophetic. It's prophetic, and so he says, I'm going to show you these things to come. But if I'm wrapped up in fear and torment, and I'm all balled up in this thing, all of a sudden I can't hear God's solution. And his solution, I can just tell you right now, is to deal with it himself. I think he likes to just say, hey, will you just sit out and watch? Just sit out and see the salvation of the Lord. Let's see this thing. Let's get ourselves in that position with the Father to where we're really seeing these things. He's really showing us things to come, and we're really progressing forward with him. I just tell you, it's time for the church to rise up to a new level of magnifying the Lord. He's the deliverer, always has been. Isn't that exciting? I don't know, I'm getting excited. I'm preaching myself happy up here. Listen to this. Just write down Acts chapter 16 and verses 16 to 31. Nothing is in the scriptures incidentally, but it's the story of Paul and Silas. The Romans come, rough them up, throw them in jail, trying to shut their mouth from preaching the gospel of the good news, trying to shut them down, throw them in prison. What do? And the Romans were rough in those days, too. They tell the guard, don't you let him out. And the rule of that day for any guard that worked was that if you're guarding that prisoner, if that prisoner gets away, you die. They were keeping from bribery, etc. And so these guys were really watching. Same thing with the Roman soldiers that were over the grave of Jesus. They knew they would die if he got away, if they came and stole his body. So at midnight, Paul and Silas, in Acts chapter 16 and verse 25, it says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And you read through the story, and you find out that just because they begin to magnify the Lord, oh, magnify the Lord. They already heard Mary's song. You know, my soul does magnify the Lord. Begin to magnify the Lord, begin to sing unto him, and all of a sudden, the whole building started shaking, and every door opened. But they didn't run. They didn't run. I like Paul. He's a little bit stubborn. He's just a little bit stubborn, like some of you guys are. And he didn't run. And if you read the story, the jailer came back freaking out. They said, oh, the jailer was actually going to kill himself because he knew this. But they stopped him. They stayed there. The jailer came and couldn't figure out why they weren't leaving. And it's because he wanted to have another talk with the Roman soldiers. And just to tell them, hey, listen, guys, I appreciate your efforts, but I'm not going to stop glorifying and magnifying God. We're going to do this thing no matter what you say. And if you read the whole story there, you'll see that they snuck him out the back door and released him. I'm telling you, praise, worship, and magnifying God will set you free. And I like the story because it said this. It said every door was open. They were all set free. So may we take from this story and this illustration that as I worship and magnify God, I get set free, but others around me get set free too. Come on, this is in there for a reason. What do I see in there? Well, that's exactly what I see. Remember, the jailer gets saved. Him, says him and his whole house got saved. There was such a power there because why? It said the jailer heard him singing and magnifying God. And again, when you were in these prisons, they aren't like ours today. There's not big screen TVs and good food, you know, and jailers that couldn't touch you for fear of them getting thrown in jail. This is a different story. This was a rough place, but these guys were able to sing and praise and magnify God. Let me do this. Let me wrap up with just a couple thoughts. I want to give you something to ponder, maybe to do this week. And we'll finish up. How can we magnify the Lord? How are you going to magnify the Lord? How can you continually say, or say continually, Lord, be magnified? This week when you walk out of this building, how are you going to magnify the Lord? Knowing that, number one, God says, I want you to do this. Number two, it should spring out of our heart. Number three, according to what happened with Paul and Silas, they were delivered from their situation. And there's other instances. Remember Jonah? He was in the well, in the belly of the whale, and he began to praise God. He began to thank God. And all of a sudden, he was delivered out of that. Well, some of us need to just shout a little bit louder in prayer time. All you have to do is do a Google search on cried out to God, and a bunch of verses come up. Honestly, these guys were always cried out to the Lord. I cried out to the Lord. But what's cool is when you read through it, it always says, and he delivered me, and he heard me, and he delivered me. And he took care of me. I mean, there's just this thing of such trust that when things were not going the way that they should go, they cried out to God until he heard them, answered them, and delivered them. Heard them, answered, and delivered them. We give up way too soon sometimes, I think. But he said, no, I'm telling you, this is a pattern that we see throughout Scripture. So how can we magnify the Lord? Here's just I'll just give you the one of these for this morning. But I would ask you to have an ear to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us this morning. Some of you need deliverance in different areas this morning. You need the Holy Spirit to come. You need the Holy Spirit to fill you up. You need the Holy Spirit to begin to bubble up inside of you. You need the Father to his voice to be clear in your mind so you can hear him again and so you can begin to join with him when you do pray, when you do meet with him. And here's what I wrote down. I really feel like this is simple, too simple, but it's really the truth. Matthew chapter 6 and 33 says, this is how I can magnify the Lord. Matthew 6 and verse 33, it says, but seek when? First. Seek first. Say first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added to you. And if you read the previous verses, what you'll see here is that he includes everything about life. Food and clothes and raiment and family and everything. He just goes down the list and he reads all the things and he says, you know, all of the Gentiles, which would in that day, today we would say all of those that don't know Christ yet, they all worry about these things. That's on the top of their minds as they're thinking about all these things. And yet he's saying this, if you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and then all of these things will be added to you. Can I just say, sometimes we have things in the wrong order. When we got a father that says, no, I care about you. No, I really care about you. No, I really care about every little detail of your life. There's nothing that I don't care about you. And it's hard for us to understand because he cares about us in such a personal way that sometimes we can't understand that because we don't even know how to reciprocate that. But he cares about you in such a personal way that he's willing to come and speak to you about that. And he says, I want you to seek first the kingdom of God. And here's three things that we need to know about the kingdom of God. The first is found in Luke chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. It says, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. I read that at first, and it just hit me. And I thought, boy, that's right. I can't just lay back and say, oh, he's just going to come. If God wants to do it, he's just going to do it. I was using Paul's accent there. Did you notice? He's just going to do it. Can I just tell you that this doesn't work that way? It doesn't work. It didn't work that way for anybody in Scripture. None of your heroes received it that way. Because the breakthrough wasn't that God was being difficult. It's our soul. Our mind, will, and emotions just keep getting in the way. They keep jumping up in the forefront. And he's saying, no, 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 no. Kingdom of God does not come by observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Can I say this? this morning, if you've asked Christ to come into your life and be your Lord, the kingdom moved in immediately, instantly. It moved inside of you. So there's not this far reach and search for the kingdom. It's inside of you. If you think about what that really means, a kingdom is a king's domain. It's where he will rule from. And he wants to rule into your life and speak to you from the inside. And he wants to come. And so it says, the kingdom is within me. So I start by saying, okay, God, you're in me. When I'm in my devotional time, I'm being still so what I can hear the conversation going on inside of me. I'm talking. Prayer was never meant to be a monologue. It was always meant to be a dialogue. But we got to be still. We got to know, man, there's something in there that's so powerful. The living God has made his residence inside of me. He put his kingdom inside of me. Nothing can break through his kingdom. That's an awesome thing. You just think, wow, God, okay. So I sit down and I begin to spend some time and begin to seek him first. The second thing I see about the kingdom is that it's made up and it consists of, according to Romans 14:7, the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink or doing this or doing that, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So he's got the kingdom. Now you got his Spirit, and it's made up of righteousness, peace, and joy. And there's so many things I could say about that. You know, when I sit down and spend some time first with God, you know, maybe my declaration, and really it's a magnifying of him, to say, God, you are my righteousness. Today, you are my righteousness. Today, you're my righteousness. I got to say this first. I got to get my day started this way. Secondly, Lord, you're my peace. How many can walk in a whole lot more of that, man? Just honestly, just. But what if I get up every day and magnify him by saying, God, you're my peace. It's in me. It's in me. I want it to be in me and flowing out of me. And Lord, you're also what? My joy. I can be a happy camper today. Why? Because I've magnified the Lord. I've magnified the Lord. I got up this morning. I just magnified the Lord and said, Lord, you're great. I hear the bombardment every time you go to pray, or not every time, but a lot of times you go to pray, you just hear a bombardment of different things, don't you? Like, you better check Facebook. No. You better have your coffee first. Now, that's an okay one there, actually. It is. But you know what I'm saying, and we just got to sit back and say, no, Lord, you're my peace. You're my joy. You're my righteousness today. And then the third thing that I learned about in Scripture here about the kingdom of God is found in Mark chapter 4, verses 30 and 32. And we read this a lot, sometimes apply it to different things, but it says, I put down, the kingdom of God is like a seed, and that seed must be planted. That seed must be planted. We know the seed is the word of God. Jesus said, how can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It is like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It is smaller, the smallest of all the seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make their nest in it. When I read that, I thought, wow. God, I got to start planting some seeds first. First in the morning, I better plant some seeds. First in the morning, I better meet with my God and plant some seeds and ask him. Because if I don't plant some seeds, guess what? Somebody else will. Somebody else will. It's the guy that carries that big magnifying glass. And then I wonder, why do I not make it? Why do I have such a struggle? Why is nothing seeming to work out? Why am I exhausted? Why am I overwhelmed? Why have I lost my song? I'd like for you just to stand to your feet, if you would. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to say something to each one of us today. I think, and was feeling that it's not a, you know, one of us or two of us. I think this month is about all of us becoming a person that really learns how to magnify the Lord continually as we read. Continually we begin to magnify Him. And if you magnify Him, it says that sweet and salty water cannot come out of the same fountain. And some of you are struggling because you're not doing it. And you're wondering, what is wrong? I've tried, I've quoted a few scriptures, I've done these things, but God said, no, I want to meet with you. I want to personally you to hear my voice. He wants to personally send His word into your situation. He wants to personally let you know that He knows. How's that for a good one? Come on, He wants to let you know He knows. Because He already knows. And He wants to come and He wants to step into your situation. And it says that as we read in Psalms 34, verse 4, I magnified the Lord and He delivered me. Wow. Just bow your heads for just a second, please. Just close your eyes and just give me about another second or two here, just a few seconds here. Maybe just ask yourself, what is something that you would say, Lord, I need your comfort. I need you to come, and I need you to come even now and come and fill me up with an overwhelming assurance that you know. And again, He already knows, but we don't know that He knows, but He brings the ability for us to know that. Why? Because He wants to give you your song back. Because if the enemy steals your song, he's stolen a part of your worship unto your God. Then God always inhabits the praises of His people. You can always begin to sing to Him, even if you had a voice like Moses. You can always begin to sing to Him, and He'll always show up instantly, and it says He'll deliver you. Whether it be for salvation, He delivered me in an instant for salvation. Whether it be for a healing, whether it be for something else. And, you know, and again, it's just knowing that the Father has this thing completely under control. Not that everything works out the way I want it to, but He's got it under control. He's covering things. He's covering bases. So I just want you to just take a minute with your eyes closed and just say, look, what's one thing that maybe you would like the Lord to speak to you clearly about? And again, maybe it will be with an instant answer. But it might just be that He's going to come and He's going to speak to you. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's enough. When you hear the Father, that's enough. Because you know that He knows. You know that He's there. You know that He's taking care of you. You know He's going to cover the situation, whatever that might look like. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, this morning I pray for everyone in this room. Lord, it's just to know You and to know the power of Your resurrection is enough for each one of us, God. To know how great and awesome and big You are, and that regardless of what it may look like, what it may feel like, and what it may seem like, You're so great. You're so amazing that if we would magnify You, You would step into the situation and You would bring Your comfort, You'd bring Your peace. Father, You'd bring our joy back to us, joy that would even confound people around us. How can they be so happy with this situation going on in their life? You said that many would see and they would hear Your people magnify You and they would come to You. Just as Paul and Silas in the jail, multitudes saw their scenario, but they also heard their song. They heard them magnifying You, God, and You actually set the whole bunch that was listening in free. And we thank You for that, God. We thank You that, Lord, You are that good. You're that awesome. You're that mighty. And as Jeremiah said, there's nothing too difficult for You. There's nothing that doesn't fit under the category of our God's ability. So we love You, and I pray for each individual scenario here this morning. Lord, each scenario would be met with the answer of You, the awesome God. And I thank You for that. I And we bless you for that, Father, that we can put our trust in you, our trust in the name of the Lord. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen.